Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Welcome, and thank you for coming and supporting your local and independent bookstore. Tonight, Corey Henderson and Dan Rollman are here to discuss their new book, The Record Setter Book of World Records. Both Dan and Corey hold multiple world records. They have appeared on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and are co-founders of RecordSetter.com. Their book, The Record Setter Book of World Records, has been described by one reader as an innovative and fun new spin on the fusty old record books. So here to present their new take on the record book are Dan Rollman and Corey Henderson.
Thank you at the back. My name is Dan Rollman.
Corey Henderson.
And it is awesome to be here at in Denver at this legendary bookstore. So thank you very much, first of all, for inviting us here tonight. You know, this project is really kind of the evolution of a lifelong passion. I like to say that Record Setter really began when I was a 10-year-old boy and got my first Guinness Book of World Records. I just fell head over heels in love with this book, was fascinated by all these extraordinary people around the world that were pushing the limits of human achievement in all kinds of really unique and extraordinary manners. And as a 10-year-old kid, I said, you know, not only do I just want to read about these extraordinary people, like the longest fingernails and the fattest twins and the tallest man and so forth, but, like, you know, I love the concept that I could someday be the world's best at something, that, you know, we have this planet with billions of people and, you know, that there was some way to somehow stand out from the crowd through setting a world record. So, From being a 10-year-old boy and all through my teen years, that obsession and love for world records grew, and I became more and more real about the vision that someday I could set a world record. When I was in college, I tried to woo a girl by telling her that I wanted her to come over and help me train for ravioli eating. I thought I could potentially be a ravioli eating champion and get into the Guinness Book that way. I quickly realized that I'm not a very fast eater and that chicks don't really dig guys who just shove ravioli down their throats.
Unless you're Kobayashi.
Right, unless you are a competitive eater. And perhaps there are some women out there who are into that. So, fast forwarding into my adult years, I was working at an advertising agency in San Francisco and started going to the Burning Man Festival, which is an annual arts festival held in the Nevada desert. Encourages creativity, encourages community participation. You're basically invited to come out to this pseudo 50,000 person commune and bring your own creative energy. And I was just blown away that there were all these people that were just pushing out all these creative ideas, dancing and art and theater and food, and all these people were doing it and not thinking about how to make a buck, but just doing it because this is what they really love to do. So the experience really blew my mind open from a creative perspective. I was working in advertising and enjoyed it creatively, but it was just not totally fulfilling my soul. And so the friends that I was going with after a couple of years, you know, we wanted to come up with some kind of an idea to take out to Burning Man, but none of us were artists and none of us were musicians and none of us were going to put together a dance troupe. Like, these were not where our creativity lay. And so I basically hearkened back to my 10-year-old self and said, hey, guys, why don't we create the Burning Man camp where people can invent, set world records? And, you know, no part of me at that point was thinking, wow, this is going to be my full-time job someday, and and we're going to end up here in Denver, Colorado. So we went out and we wore these canary yellow jackets. Somebody had suggested we wear yellow jackets to look official and kind of as an homage to Howard Cosell era Wide World of Sports. And we just told people, come on up and you can set any world record you want. And, you know, we had a Polaroid camera and we had a notebook to take down information. And people were like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean you can set any world record? And we said, how do you want to be a world champion? And, you know, one guy came up and he was an accordionist. And he said, well, I'm a pretty fast accordionist. So next thing you knew, we were watching him set a new world record for the fastest accordion rendition of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And it was true. That was the fastest time in the history of mankind that anybody had ever played The Devil Went Down to Georgia on an accordion. So great. There's a world record holder. Another woman came up, and she had a bag of blueberries and a deep belly button, and she said, why don't I see how many blueberries I can fit in my belly button? And we said, great. Like, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to subjectively decide whether that's a cool record or not. If you want that to be your world record, that's awesome. We love that. So So that became a world record. And then a guy came up on those spring-loaded stilts. And next thing you know, he was doing most consecutive backflips on stilts. So it was just, you know, it was just wonderful to see all this tremendous creativity in all these different areas. And it was just unbridled and fun. And, you know, it wasn't our job to kind of go off into a closed room and say, that's an acceptable world record. That is too outlandish, and we shouldn't accept that one. We just said, you know, we started to formulate rules, which are now some of the core rules of Record Setter, that your record has to be quantifiable and breakable. And, you know, other than that, we encourage creativity, and we want you to dream up and set your own world records. So the camp kept growing, and we started to see competition, and people were competing back and forth in these records. And year after year, we'd put up a leaderboard, and people would come and check whether they still held their world records. You know, at this time, it was when Wikipedia was really starting to change the encyclopedia, and, you know, and it was a huge inspiration in the Record Setter project that, you know, for years we'd accepted this one closed model for what an encyclopedia could be, and now, thanks to the openness of the internet and the, you know, participatory spirit of the internet, you know, the encyclopedia was being revolutionized overnight. And, you know, the project kept growing at Burning Man, and I felt that it had opportunity to grow beyond just a cool, crazy thing that we did for 5 days once a year in the Nevada desert. So Corey, my co-founder here, we met in 2006. He and his then-girlfriend, now wife, were out in San Francisco. I had known her from advertising, and we went and saw a Rat-A-Tat concert. And I had just come back from Burning Man, and I was like all fired up about, like, we have all these crazy world records, and somehow this is going to live on the internet, and somehow people are going to participate with this around the world. But I didn't know the first thing about, you know, how to build a website, or how to take a few videos and some dusty Polaroids and some, you know, notebooks and turn it into a website. So Corey is the digital brains behind Record Setter and recordsetter.com, and I'll let you jump in and tell how you...
Sure. I mean, you know, when Dan sort of described the idea to me, it was sort of, you know, for me it was very natural that the internet is a perfect place for, one, that the concept of a database... you know, originally we called the site the Universal Record Database. So the idea that a database of world records could be basically infinitely large, there was no real restriction on how big it could be. And that, you know, Guinness, of course, had to put out a book every year, and that was their goal. And so for me, it was, you know, initially, too, it was also like a realization of why does Guinness get to decide what a record is and what it isn't? If a group of people got together and invented a hobby and they're into it, they should be able to claim a world record for that and try to grow that as their own. And so, you know, Dan and I didn't listen to the concert at all. We talked about world records the whole night. And then we both ended up back in New York fairly shortly and began to work on the website as a side project. And I don't know, you can...
Yeah. So, you know, I moved back to New York and, you know, we just started kicking this idea back and forth via email. And I had quit my full-time job in advertising and was just freelancing back in New York. Corey was working on another startup. So we both had other projects we were working on. But really, over a two-year period, I mean, we really built this thing out of our pockets. And it went from being, you know, 10% of our lives to 20% of our lives to 110% of our lives. And it was just like our passion for the project kept growing. And we, you know, we worked really hard and, you know, made a lot of sacrifices in other parts of our lives. And finally, just about 3 years, it's probably right around 3 years ago now, we put up kind of in a beta version, again, what was then the Universal Record Database and is now recordsetter.com. And, you know, we finally flipped it on. And, you know, it barely worked, and we maybe had 75 videos from Burning Man. And, you know, we just kind of emailed, you know, we each emailed 50 of our friends and said, hey, like, this is this hobby that we've been working on. Check it out. If you're inspired, try and upload a record. I mean, you know, we thought it was going to work, but it was definitely in a pretty rickety shape at this point. You know, and then we kind of waited. And, you know, one of the stories, which is one of our favorite records in the book, less than a week after we had launched the site, we got a submission which came from Australia. We still have no idea how this guy even found our website. But this guy in Perth, Australia, named Daniel Fowler, he sent in a world record submission for the most giraffe tattoos on a shoulder. And he had uploaded a single photo of him with just a single giraffe on his shoulder and just a huge grin on his face. And, you know, we got this thing, and it was just, it was, like, hilarious and also, like, magical and also, like, exactly what we were trying to build, which is, like, this dude in Australia wants to have a world record for the most giraffe tattoos on a shoulder. You know, Guinness Book never in a million years would recognize a category that obtuse. Like, that's just too ridiculous.
Right. It's certainly not one that started off with one.
Right. But, you know, our spirit, like, welcomed that. And, you know, he followed the rules. It was quantifiable. It was breakable. He submitted a photo. And, you know, and so cool. So now all of a sudden, there's one more record to add to our, you know, pile of Burning Man world records. A guy in Australia holds the world record for the most giraffe tattoos on a shoulder. That story gets crazier, and this is, again, one of the many extraordinary stories of human achievement that you'll read about in the Record Setter book. But a few months later, a radio station in San Diego, they'd found our website, and one day they said, we have a tattoo artist here in the studio, and are there any listeners who are willing to come in and get two or more giraffe tattoos on their shoulder? Because there's this jerk named Daniel Fowler in Australia, and we want to see if somebody here in San Diego can take him down. And, you know, San Diego being San Diego, half a dozen listeners called up and said, like, free tattoo, man, that is killer. So a guy named Mike McDonald, he took the day off of work, and he came in, and he got three giraffe tattoos on his shoulder live on air. So, you know, then emailing Daniel Fowler and saying, like, man, you're not going to believe this, but, like, your ridiculous submission actually, you know, inspired, for better and or worse, this dude in San Diego to get three giraffe tattoos. So, you know, at this point, you know, competition is a huge part of our website. We have now over 10,000 world records from more than 60 countries, and about a third of them get beaten. So, and I mean, we'll read you a couple of our favorite records from the book, but we see this kind of competition in these completely outlandish categories all the time. The story has one more chapter, which is like a couple months later, I came into our office. At this point, we were three or four people. We had raised some money, and we were three or four people working in New York City. And, you know, everybody's eyes were wide open, and they were like, Dan, you're not going to believe it. I was like, come on, guys, what's going on? They're like, no, you're not going to believe it. So Daniel Fowler, the guy in Australia, he went out, and he got three more giraffe tattoos. He's featured on the front of our book, but he just has like the cockiest look on his face as he points at the four giraffe tattoos, and he's just the king of the world. Like, Mike McDonald, you may have beaten my record, but I've got it back. So you know, extraordinary things happen. And, you know, I think I realize as Record Setter continues to grow, you know, Corey and I both share this love of world records, and I think we realize that more and more there is an innate human desire to stand out, and we're not alone in this desire to somehow be the world's best at something. So, you know, right after we launched, we were really fortunate to we met a producer on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, who is as big of a world record geek as us, and we quickly bonded and formed a friendship over world records. So when Jimmy's show went on air, like, they quickly invited us and started developing a segment. So we've had the very fortunate opportunity to do a bunch of world record segments on his show, and Jimmy has set a bunch of world records, and Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore, and all these are some of the amazing records featured in our book. But, you know, again, going back to the stories of competition and rivalry, Cameron Diaz on Jimmy Fallon, she set the world record for the most bunnies snuggled within a hammock. And again, a ridiculous thing, like, that's just funny late night television, watching this beautiful actress get wrapped up in blankets.
With 48 bunnies.
Right. Corey had a little bit of a rift with Cameron, I guess I would say.
Well, yeah, the issue was that they had told her going into the segment that there would be 50 bunnies, which is a nice round number. But when the animal handlers got there, they discovered that two of the bunnies were sort of like gimpy in some way and not deemed worthy of being on television, so that they actually put out 48 bunnies, and I have to count and do my job and be a stickler. And she was like, she was talking about 50 bunnies, and I said 48, and I didn't stand my ground.
So, yeah, Corey put Cameron in place on national television, and I don't think I've ever been prouder of his yellow jacket officiating duties. But yeah, I mean, you know, fast forward to today, here we are in the fall of 2011, and, you know, the last 3 years have just been like an extraordinary journey for us. You know, again, this is something that began as just like a small hobby out in the desert, and then it just became kind of a pet project that Corey and I became more and more obsessed with, and, you know, again, built out of our own pockets and launched this website, and, you know, now we've been fortunate to get some funding, and we've started to work with some brands, and we're developing a TV pilot, and of course we have out the new Record Setter Book of World Records. So it's really been the most, you know, on a professional and personal level, just like an extraordinary journey to now have over 10,000 world records on our website, this book out. I mean, maybe we should jump in and read a couple more of the stories from the book.
Sure. Well, I mean, I always tell, I'm a little biased because my wife has a record in the book. And her record here, there it is, she's on page 218, with the most consecutive arm wrestling victories by a woman in her third trimester of pregnancy. So Dan hasn't mentioned yet, but we do events quite often. We try to do them once a month in New York, where it's like at a venue in the evening, and we have a lineup of like 10 or 12 record setters that come on stage, and we have a house band. Typically, we get a lot of comedians and performers and interesting acts. And my wife was very pregnant at the time, and she usually likes to have a few drinks and then start challenging people to arm wrestle. And so she kind of combined those things, minus the alcohol, obviously, into her world record. And she beat six people, including one guy, consecutively in arm wrestling. Very proud of that.
But now, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, and you're in your third trimester of pregnancy, you know, please check with your doctor if you're planning if you're planning to attempt this world record. Another record, which I think is really awesome. Well, before I jump into that, I mean, you know, people always ask Corey and I, like, whether we hold world records ourselves. And, like, the answer is, like, of course we do. Like, you know, this is the whole reason that we built this website, is because, like, we were, you know, quirky kids with, like, unique talents that just didn't fit into the existing rules and regulations of setting a world record, you know. You know, Guinness obviously has been a huge inspiration to us, but they ultimately are very subjective. They ultimately are subjective in choosing what is and isn't an acceptable Guinness World Record. And, you know, we believe in the age of the internet, like, why not just open it up and, like, let people, you know, be creative? And, you know, we live in a video era, so all of the records which are featured in the book, you can see at recordsetter.com, and we now have over 10,000 records, and we have the biggest collection of world record videos on the internet. So, you know, our site is as much like YouTube as it is like Guinness Book. It's very easy. You just create an account, shoot a world record. So, you know, probably my favorite record that I've set is, well, I'm 6'7", and so I decided at one of our live events to set a world record for the most bananas fit in a pair of pants while wearing them. I like bananas. It's my favorite fruit. And I wanted to think of a world record that hopefully I could hold on to. I'd held the world record for most times whistling Happy Birthday in 1 minute, but that got beaten on our website by some kid, some jerky kid. So then I was like, nobody's ever going to beat a 6'7" dude fitting. I fit 60 bananas in my pants. Posted the record. Now, it all comes back to those dang Australians. A guy in Australia, he found my record, and I had worn a pair of fairly tight-fitting corduroy pants. He put on a pair of track pants, drawstring track pants, you know, played dirty, in my opinion. It was actually a good learning moment for us building the website. We suddenly realized the importance of creating rules. So now, if you're going to create a new world record, you know, and we have records ranging from the most time smiling while listening to Beat It, the largest toothpick beard, well, we'll get to that one in a second. You know, most Afro picks fit in an Afro was set by Questlove from The Roots. We have skateboarding world records. I mean, we just have creativity galore in this book. But now, if you want to set and create a new world record category, you have to create rules so that people can follow it. And people sometimes will be, you know, ask a fair question of, like, well, who cares about this stuff? Like, is this not just people being idiots? Like, is this ironic? Is this fake? And, like, our feeling is no. You know, you know, like, we accept whatever happens in the Olympics as, like, these are legitimate sports. But, you know, if you look at, Corey always likes to talk about pole vault as something that really probably began with, like, a couple of goofballs and a long stick, and they saw a shrub, and they said, can we stick the stick in the ground and vault ourselves over that shrub, and, like, who can vault over the highest shrub? And, you know, and now, you know, however many years later, we recognize this as, like, a legitimate sport that people spend their lives training for, right? And so, you know, we feel like all of these thousands of records that people are inventing, and now we're getting, you know, hundreds of records sent in every single week to Record Setter, you know, we feel like any of these things could become ultimately the pole vault of the future, right? Or the 100-meter dash of the future. So you want to talk about the high five? I mean, this is a record which is in our book and I think is a great example of a ridiculous, outlandish world record that I think could become a truly global sport.
So the longest high five, so longest meaning, well, the originators of this record are two Canadians that call themselves the Record Collection, and they set records. That's what they do. And this is one of their records was they stood.
About 3 miles, I think.
Here it is. It's 3.3 kilometers, so 2.5 miles apart down one of the main streets. What's it? Yonge Street in Toronto, with arms up at opposite ends of town, and they run towards each other with a triumphant high five in the middle of that thing when, you know, they're on their cell phones trying to coordinate to make sure that they line up. And this was, you know, it was a very well produced video. A lot of our record setters have gotten into like producing really entertaining videos on their own, and so we were big fans of the record. And then of course, again, Australia, that we love. Australia, two guys, Dave Thompson and Matt Kelly, up that record considerably with 2.6 miles. I'm not sure what that is in kilometers off the top of my head. And, you know, again, equally, you know, they're wearing, he's wearing, for no good reason, sparkly spandex pants and, you know, another great video. And up that record, and then I don't even know the current mark is.
It got beaten by two guys in Illinois. And so it is, if you Americans, you should be happy to know that the longest high five is currently held by an American duo. But yep. Both the Canadian guys and the Australian guys are both, like, have said they're in training and they plan to reclaim it, potentially on National High Five Day, which is held every spring. Our core philosophy is that everybody can be the world's best at something, and that is truly genuine to us. And we're really just trying to create a platform where people can express themselves creatively, can, you know, find self-esteem through being a world champion, can find, use it as a form of self-expression. You know, we love the fact that, like, kids are setting world records, and summer camps are setting world records, and, like, a whole bunch of Bible groups have found our website and are obsessed with setting world records. So that feeling of, like, democratizing something that's really been in this closed box for five decades, essentially, is really, like, what drives us and gets us really excited. I think people will ask us about how is the Record Setter Book of World Records different than the Guinness Book. And the short answer I would give is that the Guinness Book is something you read, and it's awesome, but you read it. And, okay, these cool people are doing amazing feats. I'm going to, you know, go off and do something else now. Like, the book, the Record Setter Book, not only is filled with a lot of records that you probably, you know, could take the book home and beat one of these records tonight. Like, one of the records is the most tweets sent to MC Hammer in 1 minute. And the record is only 7. So, you know, if any of you guys are on Twitter and you like MC Hammer, and a side note, MC Hammer tweeted the guy back. So, the book is filled with a lot of records. You know, most foam fingers worn at once is 29. Well, that's actually pretty hard to beat. But there definitely are some records in here that, you know, the largest Connect Four tournament is only 97 participants. So if you wanted to, you know, do a birthday party and do the largest Connect Four tournament and beat that record, like, great, go for it. Most Trivial Pursuit questions answered incorrectly in 1 minute stands at 18. Mick Cullen in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. That's another competitive category. The book is also filled with hundreds of what we call records begging to be set. So, you know, we don't want this book to be something that you just read, but we want it to be a guide to becoming a world record holder yourself. So it's filled with tons of tips from existing world record holders on how you can become a world record holder yourself and how to practice, you know, some of the tricks they've learned. But there's also tons of these records that haven't been set yet. So, for example, the fastest time to insert all wedges into 6 Trivial Pursuit game pieces. Yes, if you'd like to do that. I'm sure somebody here in the audience is going to be interested in this one. The most episodes of Yo! MTV Raps watched while doing the splits. That's a world record that has not been set yet. If there are any art collectors here in the audience, the largest collection of sad clown paintings. This world record has not been set yet. Or the fastest time to sing, I've got a brand new pair of roller skates while wearing a brand new pair of roller skates. Like, you know, we welcome all this stuff. We just love the creativity. And, again, some of these things could be in the Olympics in the year 3000. So why don't we jump in and maybe see if there are any questions from you guys, and then we can conclude this thing by collectively setting a world record here at the bookstore. Yep.
Do you know how the people at Guinness feel about you and this project?
Yeah. So the question that was asked is, do we know how Guinness feels about us? So, you know, the short answer is yes. We've spoken with them. They are aware. And I would just say that there is a mutual admiration. Yeah. I will leave it at that. They definitely are aware of what we're building. And, yeah. No, I mean, nobody owns the concept of world records. Like, in India, there's something called the Limca Book of World Records, and there are, you know, so there are other players beyond Guinness, but, I think our model to make everything built around video and make recordsetter.com, like, make our video platform the heart of everything is what's unique. And, you know, the book is a great extension for us. Like, we love getting this out into the hands of people and really think it'll just be, again, a good tool to getting people to become world record setters themselves.
What is your long-term goal? 20 years down the road,
the question that was asked is, what is our long-term goal? You know, where do we want to be in 20 years? And I think, you know, Dan and I, when we started this thing, we both said to each other, you know, this is something that we could see doing for 50 years. And I think that, you know, we always say that Guinness had a 50-year head start. And I think that we want to be the place that is sort of synonymous with world records, and that when you think world records, you think about Record Setter. And again, I don't really think of that as like a selfish thing. I don't think it's not about us. I mean, we changed our name to Record Setter because at the end of the day, like, we sort of feel like the records belong to the people that are setting them and creating them. You know, so in most of the ways that matter, if you create a record, you are defining what the rules are for that record. It's your record. If you want to have the rule that you need to be wearing a green hoodie while you set the record, like, it's your record. Go for it. So, you know, I think that that's kind of the dream, is that, you know, obviously lots of people own world records. There's competition. And, you know, it's a tool that can enable groups and people that are interested in things to really see what humans are capable of.
What's the most surprising thing someone's put before you? Whoa, I didn't believe it.
Yeah, so I think also, you know, somebody asked me the other day the similar question of, like, what do you want to do with this? And, you know, my simple answer was, you know, when I was a 10-year-old boy and I got my first Guinness Book of World Records, like, I said, this is, like, I'm obsessed with this stuff, and I think it's so cool, and I want to be able to set a world record, like, you know, with Record Setter, the book, and then with recordsetter.com, the website. Like, I just want to create a space so that 10-year-old boys from today moving forwards can, you know, discover that same dream and discover how amazing world records are, and then have the ability to say, like, all right, I'm going to, you know, I mean, we heard from, you know, like, I think getting youth involved is really important to us. We met this father last year who told us about his son who's autistic and just was not finding any hobbies or interests. And then they found our website and, you know, he set a world record. And he said, like, it was just the first time in, like, 10 years that he'd seen his son, like, find something that he really connected with and his eyes lit up with. And, you know, that to me is, like, what makes it all worthwhile. And, you know, so, you know, again, we say everybody can be the world's best at something, and, you know, the long dream would be that everybody on Earth holds a Record Setter world record. So, the next question is, what is the craziest thing we've seen? I mean, we could talk about it for hours.
The first thing that popped in my head was a record. We've almost never don't put something live on the site because, you know, that's not really, you know, again, we're not really making subjective judgments, but in one case we did do that, and the record was set for these two male nurses sent us a video for the fastest time to insert a catheter into somebody's arm, which I guess is like finding a vein and doing something like that. And so that was one where we, of a handful of the tens of thousands of videos that we've gotten that we said, for the benefit of their own careers, we won't put this one up. And that was pretty shocking.
But, I think, we have principles on the site. Obviously by creating such an open platform for world records, we don't want people to break their necks and, try and jump Snake Canyon on a skateboard. we have a set of principles and we really try and encourage, we say don't hurt yourself, don't hurt others, don't hurt the planet. Crazy record. We have a guy who, one of the craziest long-term things we have is we have a guy named Brian Pankey in Springfield, Illinois, who's about to set his 2,000th world record. So to give you a sense of scale, the most prolific Guinness world record holder has just over 100 world records. And, Brian Pankey, the people at Letterman just found him when he was just on Stupid Human Tricks doing one of his records. But he has, longest time to balance a love seat on chin, which is pretty amazing. Longest time to balance a bicycle on chin.
And his Letterman feat, which he's now sort of becoming famous for, is he has the fastest time to juggle 3 or 4 apples while taking a bite each time. The video that you can find is amazing because he's just 100% committed to it and the way that he can juggle and bite these apples. But yeah, he's essentially kind of become a full-time record setter, and that's kind of his career at this point, is setting world records.
And it's, we have a real strong community. Like when Brian set his 1,000th world record, a guy in Australia, a different guy, I know we keep talking about it, but he made a, like Brian, people are making fan art for each other now. So one guy in Canada painted a painting of Brian Pankey. The guy in Australia made a book featuring to celebrate the 1,000 records. And then he reached out to 30 other people in our community and got quotes from all these different people. So we have a really active, community, our Facebook page and our Twitter, and we have forums on our website. We're really finding there are all these, I'm a juggler and I live in Nome, Alaska, and I've never found any other serious competitive jugglers. And now I can put a video up on Record Setter and other jugglers can see it and try and raise the bar. So I think I think more and more, and I think that's what we get really excited about, is finding all these, spread out niche communities and letting them find each other and communicate with one each other and, push each other to raise the bar. So that's fun. What else? Any more questions?
So before you released the book, this was a full-time job for you guys?
Yeah, so the question is this a full-time job? So, amazingly, yes. I think even though all this stuff is we're dealing with a lot of ridiculous feats, the largest toothpick beer, the longest flute trill, I'm just looking at the cover of the book again, the most fire puffs blown in 30 seconds, as much as we're seeing all this ridiculous stuff, I don't think I've ever treated a project more seriously. So, we are working day and night to make this thing bigger and better, and are starting to find a business model where we're getting brands and to do online campaigns and live events. We'll go to music festivals and do world records with a brand sponsoring us. Or, we just did a campaign with Stride Gum, and their campaign is all about long-lasting, so we did Stride long-lasting world record challenges. So, we see opportunities to take all that we're doing and kind of seamlessly integrate brands. We've had a lot of interest in the television space and are talking to some television companies now. So, we are fortunate to have some investors who, believe in what we're doing and see an opportunity to, make something that's, bigger than what we have now. So,
We have about 7 full-time people in New York, and we have 12 to 15 total people if you count sort of contractors and consultants that come and go a little bit.
So, and it's been, I mean, I'll just say, like, as a first-time entrepreneur, like, again, my part of what I would pass on in terms of what I've learned from this experience is, you know, like, if you have a dream and you have your day job and you say, this is okay, but, like, there's something else that, like, I can't stop thinking about, like, you know, life is short. And, like, sometimes you just have to jump off a cliff and do something idiotic and quit your day job and, you know, believe in yourself and believe in your dream and it's really, really hard work. It's really exhausting, but it's like totally invigorating and exciting. What else? Any? Ask us anything.
Do you plan on putting out more books?
Do we plan on putting out more books? Yeah, we have. So we did our first book with Workman, who we love, and they've been a pleasure to work with, and we have a two-book deal with them, so we'll be doing, you know, at least one more book. But, yeah, I mean, our hope is to either make it an annual book or do a book of kids' records or pet records or whatever else. So.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fode, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.